Praise God. If you didn't get inspired this morning by that message, then you need to go back and listen to it. Amen. That was one of the most inspiring messages I have ever heard in my entire life. I sent the pastor a text and told him I would never forget that sermon this morning. That, you know, you hear sermons, you hear messages in and out, day and camp meetings and this, that. But every once in a while, you hear a message that's going to stay with you until your dying day, maybe even into eternity. And for me, that message this morning is going to stay with me. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. And for our pastor to the, let's give our pastor an honor tonight. Let's just let him know we love him and our First Lady. Amen. And so I want to kind of springboard off of what the pastor preached on this morning, what our pastor preached on this morning. And he talked about the seed. This morning, he talked about the seed as being the Word of God, which I'd never heard preached in that fashion before, which was amazing. Now, really, the seed can refer to many aspects or many dimensions. The seed can represent your finances. Now, we've heard that. Seed time and harvest, 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, you don't have to go there. It says, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. The very next verse says, what the Lord lays upon your heart to give, let every man give as the Lord lays upon his heart. People say, well, the Lord has only laid a certain amount on my heart. Let me tell you, he's already laid the tithe on your heart. It's already in the Bible. Amen. He's talking about your offerings there. The seed can also refer to children. We know the seed, Genesis chapter 32, God told Jacob, your seed will be like the stars of the night and the sands of the shore. So seed can refer to the Word of God. Say amen. Amen. The seed can refer to, and just give me a little more monitor if you don't mind. The seed can refer to finances. Say amen. Amen. The seed can refer to children. Say amen. And the seed can refer to witnessing. Psalms 126 says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. So when I go to work at Best Buy, or when you go to your job, or when you're at Wilson Ironworks, or wherever you are, just a little bit more, then you're taking the seed of the Word of God. Thank you. Perfect. And then, of course, Jesus Christ himself. It's called what in Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman. And so the seed can refer to many things. But tonight there's one more thing that I want to refer to as the seed. Not only finances, not the Bible, not children, not even Christ. But the seed I want to liken to, and the scripture tells us, can refer to you and me. We ourselves are a seed. And so I want to talk to you about us being a seed. And what I want to talk to you tonight, you'll kind of get in the process of this message. And what the title of the message tonight is The Mystery of the Seed. And so you're going to learn about the seed in general, but you're going to learn about the seed specific that you and I are the planting of the Lord. I want you to stand tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32. If you're glad to be here tonight, say amen. Amen. Have you got all your Christmas shopping done? Say amen. Okay, all right, all right. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 through 32. Turn around and see if your neighbor's got it. If not, point them up here. And I believe we've got it on the screen tonight. God's good all the time. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. That's where we're going to end up with this text. I want to start where I'm going to end, the mystery of the seed. Father, tonight, thank you for the Word of God. I ask you, God, to touch your servant, to preach and to minister, and God will give you all the praise for what shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. May I decrease, and may you increase. May your Word go forth freely. We'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. And turn around and high-five somebody, and you may be seated. Amen. Give them a high-five. Amen. One more time. If you're glad to be here, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. Come on. Amen. You see, the Bible starts in the first chapter, within the first 12 verses, talking about the seed. In Genesis 1 and 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Genesis 1 and 12. "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed after his kind, the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind." And read that last part. "And God saw that it was..." Everybody say, good. That's right. Good. Those fruits and those vegetables. But I want to ask you, have you ever considered the mystery of the seed? If you take, and the pastor has it in his Bible, which I thought was powerful. He has it inside his Bible, that little bitty seed, that tiny, tiny seed that if you're not careful, it'll fall out of your hand. It's so small and seemingly insignificant. But I want you to know tonight that that which is small is not always insignificant. Think of the power and the potential that is locked up inside of that seed. If you were to think about it, scientists have delved into the heart of the seed and have had to study the mysteries. How does that become something great? It can only be because God is able to cause us to exceedingly and abundantly increase and abound unto every good work. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Now I want you to think about the mystery of the seed. And then I want you to think about we as God's people are likened unto seed. What do you mean? Go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. If you're there, say amen. "The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom." Stop right now and tell somebody, you're a good seed. Amen. You're a good seed. You're one of the seed or seeds of the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Go to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Read the next part. "That they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." You see, why are we like a seed? Why are we called his seed? Because just as the seed and the mysteries of it, and the properties of it, and the dynamics of it, and what causes it to grow, it is very similar to the child of God. A definition of the word seed is grains or ripened ovules of plants used for sowing. That's what I learned at East Carolina University. Glory to God. "The fertilized, ripened ovule of a flowering plant containing an embryo and capable normally of germination to produce a new plant." Did you get that? Wake somebody up tonight. This is going to get better. Amen. A propagate plant structure. A propagative animal structure. A developmental form of a lower animal suitable for transplanting. And here's the final definition. A seed is this. A source of development or growth. Hallelujah. Turn around and tell somebody, you're a seed. Amen. You see, a seed is a source of development or growth. A seed has great potential. Turn around and tell somebody, you've got great potential. We have yet to see. You have yet to see all that God has in store for you. You are the planting of the Lord. I'm going to tell you tonight four things about the mystery of the seed, and it applies to you and me. And I'm going to just do a little preach right here in this introduction, because one of the things that really brings me inspiration is when I walk across the parking lot that's paved with asphalt. and you'll walk across the asphalt. And you've got to understand, I was here when they paved this parking lot. I remember talking to S.T. Wooten, and I remember standing outside the glass doors looking, and I saw what they did to this grass parking lot. It was grass and rock, and I watched them as they bulldozed it down and tore it all to pieces, and then they rolled that black asphalt on it, and then they stamped it down and pressurized it down, and you would have thought that all that grass underneath there was sure enough gone, sure enough history. You would have thought there was no way that grass could survive, but it won't long. After about 2 or 3 years later, we begin to see a crack in that asphalt. And before you know it, one little blade of grass had come back up. You know why? Because you can destroy the grass, but you cannot destroy the seed. You can't keep the child of God down. You may be run over. You may be plowed over, and you may be pushed under. But I'm here to tell you, you're coming back because you are a planting of the Lord. I don't care what they did to you. Somebody lift your hand and praise Him tonight. Like that little wave of grass. Oh, you can break through the hardness. You can break through that asphalt. Your days are not over. Praise God. As long as God is in. Come on, wave that hand like a little grass. Tell somebody, I'm on my way back. Hallelujah. Give Him another hand of praise while I catch my breath. Now see, we have great potential. We can do the impossible. We can see the invisible. We can hear the inaudible. We were earth born, but we're heaven bound. As Christians, if we have faith as the grain of mustard seed, we can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it will be cast into the sea. For there is nothing impossible with God, and therefore there is nothing impossible for me. I said there's nothing impossible for God, therefore there is nothing impossible for me. But listen, something's got to happen in order to see that seed come to fruition. How many of you want to see what God has planned for your life come to fruition? How many of you want to see it happen? If you do, say amen tonight. Now, you might not like this process, so I'm just going to tell you, we're going to get to the bad stuff before we get to the good stuff, all right? And by the way, all these years I heard about Peter walking on the water, and the pastor was mentioning that this morning. I had a new thought just come to my mind. Maybe y'all caught it, but it said, and Peter beginning to sink. You know, and in my mind, I've always pictured that he had sunk. Me and Brother Pastor Jerry's got it. You know what? Before he, listen, in my mind, I just pictured he had sunk, fell into the water. Me and Brother Jerry getting a blessing. Amen. This is good. I tell you what, he didn't sink. He just began to sink, but Jesus was already there. Praise God. You're not going to sink if you're walking by faith. Amen. You might begin to sink, but he's going to pick you up before you sink. Amen. Well, I know me and Pastor Jerry got a blessing out of that one. But listen, let me give you four things about the mystery of the seed. If you're ready for it tonight, say amen. Amen. You might be beginning to sink, but he's coming for you. Amen? Yes. First of all, a seed has to be planted. Yes. The Bible says in Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. Praise God, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now go to Psalm 92 and verse 13. Psalm 92, a seed has to be planted. As long as it stays in the pastor's Bible leaf, it will not do any further than it's doing now. I feel like, Pastor, if you take that little seed out and put it out here in the grass, it might do something. Amen. But it's got to be planted. Psalm 92 and verse 13 says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have to be planted somewhere. Folks, I want to tell you, I'm planted in my marriage. My wife and I don't live together. We are locked together. Amen. In holy matrimony. We sealed the deal. We are not significant others. We are significant others, but not in the term we use today. And listen, I don't say that in condemning terms. You try it your way. I promise you it ain't going to work. And people say, well, marriage don't work. That's because people don't work the marriage. Marriage will never work. You have to work the marriage. It's not what I can get out of the marriage. It's what I can put into the marriage. And brother, my wife, praise God, we are planted. We got committed on August the 4th, 1994. Listen, I was so dumb. On the way over, I was like, you know, I love Darnell, but I'm so afraid I might meet some other lady and fall in love with her and what in the world am I going to do? And this is my thoughts. And I love this woman. I'm getting ready to marry her, but I was having second thoughts. And so I remember we got to the church. And I remember I stood at the altar. T.O. Byrd was the minister. And I saw my wife walk down that aisle. And I remember standing there and something flipped in my spirit. And from that, I said, no other woman but that woman for me. I'm telling you right now, I have no desire, whatever. But it was like 1 minute, I was like on the fence. The next minute, I was in it to win it. Praise God. And I still am. And I got to preach quick before I get out in more trouble. Amen. But I'm just here to tell you, thank God, we're planted. Amen. Have you ever seen the Mexican? Jose, you ever seen the Mexican? Is he here tonight? Have you ever seen the Mexican jumping bean? Anybody else ever seen a Mexican jump? Brother Kyle, you're from North Carolina, and you've never seen the Mexican. You have seen it? Okay. You know, that thing sits there, and it goes, pluck, pluck. I mean, it's the silliest thing you've ever seen. You get a handful of them, they go, pluck, pluck, pluck. Let me tell you something. The Mexican jumping bean don't do a whole lot for society, I can tell you that. What benefits do we get out of a Mexican jumping bean? And I'm afraid too many Christians, instead of being the seed and being planted, they're a Mexican jumping bean. But a preacher didn't preach what I like. They jump. Somebody didn't visit me. They jump. Well, there's problems in this church, so I'm going to jump over this church. Oh, there's problems in that church. Are y'all with me tonight? I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, you can't do a whole lot for God being a Mexican jumping bean. You got to get somewhere and plant your roots and say, here I is. Devil, you can't move me. You can huff and puff, but I am a planting of the Lord. Westmoreland Church is my church. I'm a member. Jose, you are now a member, brother, and you are not going to be a jumping bean. Amen. And brother Kyle and sister, I'm here to tell you, Pastor Jerry has been a planting here for 20 years. Preachers have changed churches and jumped over here to find just one other mess. Jump over there. But thank God somebody at Westmoreland has planted themselves and said, we're going to stay. We're in it to win it. We're going all the way with God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, if God moves you to another place, that's one thing. Amen. He does change assignments sometimes. But until the Lord, if you're just jumping because something ain't going your way, oh my goodness, you're not going to do a whole lot for the Lord. Listen, you can't hit and miss church. You can't hit and miss Bible study. You can't hit and miss worship. You can't hit and miss prayer. Praise God, if the seed is removed, it cannot grow. But listen, let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Time out. Praise Him, church, right now. Give Him glory in the house tonight. Seed has to be planted. Number two, the mystery of the seed and the way God works in our lives is that there must come, number two, isolation. Isolation, isolation. When the seed is planted, it's separated, it's isolated. There are times in our life when death comes, divorce, disappointments can lead to isolation. But don't despise the process of life. Sometimes when the seed is isolated, that is when it begins to grow its greatest. Now we need fellowship. And we are a field. We're not a little bitty seed out there by ourselves. We are a field. So we're with other seeds and we all grow together. Amen. But in that true growth process, there are times when you have to be alone with the Lord. There are times when you need to separate yourself for times of growth. When Jacob was away from mom and dad, particularly mom, because he was a mama's boy, when he got away from mom and dad, and he was out there all by himself, the Bible says he saw the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even realize it. Sometimes in those difficult places is when our seed is growing and the Lord is working. What about Moses? He became all by himself. A commitment to God. And there he found the burning bush. He thought he was all by himself, but he just looked around and he turned aside and realized that God was with him the whole time. You're never really alone when you serve the Lord. Can you say amen? David was at Ziklag. Ziklag. And the people spake of stoning him. But David was a seed, a planting of the Lord. And he grew through that tragedy. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Let me tell you something. The greatest sermon you're ever preaching in your life will be the sermon you preach to yourself. You wait for somebody to preach to you? And you should. You've got preachers. We need preachers. Thank God for preachers. We heard preaching this morning. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to preach to yourself. My sister would laugh at me if she were here tonight. But when I was like 11, 12 years old, 10 years old. No, I had to be a little older. Like 12, 13 years old. She would catch me in the bathroom with a brush. And me preaching into the mirror. Silently. In other words, I'd be going. I'd be doing that. Because I didn't want anybody to hear me. But she'd walk in and she'd go by. And she'd say, what are you doing? But see, I had to preach in me. Amen. That was before I even realized I was called to preach. But you got to preach to yourself. And David encouraged himself. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said this. He said at first answer, 2 Timothy 4:16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. There are going to be times when you feel that nobody is for you. Now, don't be a Mexican jumping bean and jump all over the world. Let me tell you what. He even said, all men forsook me. Have you ever felt that way? You feel isolated on your job. Sometimes even in your marriage when things are not good. He said, I pray that God may not lay it to their charge. Look at 2 Timothy 4:17. It says this, but notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In other words, I was a seed. I was alone. But it was there that God was strengthening me and blessing me. And I'll tell you, the greatest example of all is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? And they fell asleep. And he was in the garden alone. But he, through that planting, became the plant, Ezekiel says, of renown. Thank God that in those lonely places, those desperate lonely hours, through it all, Andre Crouch wrote, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. If you don't have a friend in the world, you got a friend in the other world. His name is Jesus. Thank God for his work in our lives. Can you say amen? We got to be planted. Say amen. Sometimes we have to be isolated. Say amen. Let me give you a personal example of that. When I was a freshman in college, I had kind of strayed from the Lord a little bit. In fact, a lot of bit. I didn't go all the way back to those terrible sins of my youth. But I wasn't doing what I should. And I had a girlfriend at my high school sweetheart. Oh, Lord, I'm getting in trouble again. Time of mercy. My high school sweetheart. Oh, Darnell, just work through it, baby. Just work through it. Amen. Just wait for point three. This may apply, I'm telling you. But back when I was growing up, the church really was strong in against movies. They really, really, if you remember the Pentecostal church then, you almost had to take an oath that you would not go to a movie theater. Now, I know that's radical today, and we certainly are not legalistic on that standpoint. There's good movies in a theater that you can see, and that I have gone to see many good movies, but make sure they're good movies. Can I get a witness out there? But at that time, this was in like 1989, last century, okay? So I remember the girl I was going with, I had rededicated my life back to the Lord, a Paul Jackson revival, and I began to feel that I needed to get back to my roots. And one of the things I told my girlfriend, I said, she wanted to go see a movie on Friday night for a date. And I said, no, I'm not going to go see any more movies. She said, what? What's wrong with going to see movies? I said, well, it may not be anything wrong with it, but I just got a conviction, and I'm trying to get back to that anointed. Because I'm going to tell you, I was in some anointed services when I was 12 and 13, and I felt the power of God, and I had lost it. And if it took me not going to see a movie, man, I'd forget that movie. I was ready to get back that precious, sweet anointing that I had lost. And I said, and she got really upset with me. And she pouted. She got mad. And she said, well, I'm going to see the movie. I said, well, you're going to have to go without me. And I remember she went on to see the movie. And I remember on a Friday night, 18 years old, I was in the dorm room all by myself. My heart was crushed. I wanted to be with my girlfriend that night. And the devil was, you know, you're stupid. You're going to lose your girlfriend. You're going to do all that. But I made up in my mind that if I had to go this thing alone, that I was going all the way with God. And let me tell you, God honored me for that, because about 6 weeks later in that very room, I heard the voice of the Lord. He spoke directly to me in a voice I could hear. He said, I have given you a pastor's heart. And that day, from that place of isolation, God called me to pastoral ministry. Now, I've been a sorry pastor, but I've never been sorry that I was a pastor. How about that? But let me tell you, you'll never know. You'll never know, glory to God. Go all the way with God. Even if it means you got to go a night or two without your BFFs. That's a cut Facebook off. Get off social media. Find a prayer closet and shut the door and get like the seed of God and let him work in your life, and you'll never regret it. Somebody shout hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Number three, the seed is surrounded by darkness. That's the mystery. I like to put it like this way. The seed is buried in oblivion. I mean, think about it. I remember when I was a kid, my great-grandmother, Geneva Joyner, And my great-grandfather, Harold Joyner, had a farm next to the Red Church. And I remember Grandpa would drop the seed in the ground. He would walk up, and Granny would cover it up. And I would walk up and pat it down even further. But think of that seed dropped. Dropped. You ever felt like you've been dropped before? Come on. You ever felt like you're... Some of you been in... You know people that your wife left you for somebody else. You were dropped. Come on now. And I want you to understand something. You were working, and the next day you got laid off. You were dropped. You were then buried, seemingly, in oblivion. Now this tells me that dark times are going to come in your life. There have been times in my life where, brother, I could hear God. I told you a couple weeks ago how I heard, I just told you a few minutes ago how I heard the Lord speak to me. And then I told you a few years later, the Lord spoke to me again and said I'd get a phone call from a pastor with an offer. That was a clear voice of direction. There's been times in my life where, man, I could get up and I knew exactly where I'd be in 3 years. And then there's been times in my life where I didn't know what the next day was going to hold. You're not shouting, are you? Because it's the truth. One phone call, and you can be in oblivion, seemingly. Darkness, when you cannot see. And yet, it's in the darkness. Did you know there's a scripture that says, for God, the dark and the light are no different than Him? Do you know God has X-ray vision? Did you know that God has, what is that vision that the military uses where they can see in the dark? There's a certain term. What is it? Night vision? Okay, would you say, all in favor for night vision, say yes. But they're flying up in a helicopter. There's not a light around. They look down and they can see people running away because it's a heat sensor. Can I get a witness? I'm going to tell you, in the darkness, Job, he said, I looked, I could not find him. I looked forward, I looked backwards. I was surrounded in darkness. But friend, do not despise those dark moments, because it's when that seed is in a dark place that God is working. Things are happening. And here's the good news. It won't stay dark very long. Somebody say amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you're in a dark place right now, that means there's a birthing and a breakthrough coming. Can I get a witness out there tonight? And not only was it in a dark place, but come on, pat the floor. It was covered up. Come on, pat that seed down now. Come on now. You know, that's, you're not just gonna put the seed, throw the seed on the ground. You're gonna dig it. There you go. Okay, you can do it. You can stop now. No, I'm just kidding. But you don't just put seed there, Brother Philip. Pat it, right? Am I right or wrong? I know it. And sometimes we get covered up. Some people are like this. They demand more exposure. Have you ever seen people like that? Oh, my goodness. But the problem is, just like with film, just like with that seed, if you have too much exposure at the wrong time, it's not going to work. Can I get a witness out there? Let me tell you, you may have a gift or a talent that no one knows about, but you can't ever demand exposure. Let me tell you something. When God called me to preach in 1987 is when I preached, I just thought about something. 30 years ago, 2017, God called me to preach. In February of 1987, I preached my first sermon. I was 16 years old. I could take you to the Emmanuel Holiness Church where I preached my first sermon. And I'm here to tell you that he called me to preach when I was 16. I graduated from high school. Then I went on staff with T.L. Byrd. And I'm telling you, from about 1991 to tonight, I can tell you there has been hardly any Sunday that I wasn't in a pulpit preaching somewhere. And I'm going to tell you something else. I didn't go calling people up begging for them to preach. You know, can you book me for a revival? I have told preachers I was available. There's nothing wrong with that. I say, hey, pastor, I'm available. If you need somebody to fill in, that's one thing. But I've never had to ask somebody to let me preach. I've never had to say, hey, I got, something to say. Let me tell you something. When you have a gift and you're covered up, that's a good thing. You better let God bring you through. You better be faithful in the dark places. And I'll tell you something. If you're called and you're gifted, it's going to come up. A man's gift will make room. You're not going to stay underexposed. You got an anointing on your life. Praise God. Somebody's going to need it. And God will see that you fulfill that need through Jesus Christ. You know, as a pastor over the years, one of the things that I often ran into as a pastor was people who wanted to come into the church and either preach or sing. Are y'all still out there tonight? Y'all so quiet tonight. Brother Jerry, you gave it all you got this morning. I think they got all they wanted to get today. Amen. Brother Ricky, I'm a singer. Can you book me to sing? And you know how far that would go? Probably in file 13. Are y'all with me here tonight? If you're a singer and you can sing, let me tell you something. The Lord will open the doors for you to sing. Can I get an amen? You don't need to flare up. Well, I want on the singing schedule. Well, you know what? You might be a seed right now covered up. God might need to minister to you through others right now. Amen. I never, even in this role as associate pastor, I never take it for granted when I preach. If the pastor wants me to preach, I will be more than glad to preach. Pastor, if you don't want me to preach and you just need me to do something else, I will do something else. I will not sweat it. I'm not after Brother Jerry saying, let me preach this so many times. No, sir. When I came on staff here, I came here as anybody should come on staff. I'm just here to be a blessing, here to serve. Can I get a witness? Amen. And, Brother Jerry wants me to preach all the time. Amen. And that's all right because that's my calling. But listen, God opens those doors. I've never lacked for exposure. Even when I resigned my church at Smyrna and I had gone 20 years and pastored, I didn't have a revival book. But I'm telling you, from my last Sunday at Smyrna, the next Sunday I had a place, the next Sunday I had a place, the next Sunday I had a place. I'm here to tell you, friend, it's the mystery of the seed. You let God work in your life. You don't have to open the door. You don't have to make it. You just get pressed down. But God will not leave you down if you stay humble and let God work in your life. Can you say amen? You may be covered up. People, let me tell you something. People don't sit. I had a man at another church I pastored. He told me right up front, I'm called to preach and I want to preach. I said, that's fine. You're welcome to serve. And if there's some opportunity, I'll give it to you. What I was going to do was test him out a little bit. Because I don't particularly want to hear you preach. I want to see you serve. Come on. Can I get a witness out there? It's not always in the pulpit or in the limelight. Ladies and gentlemen, we just got to let the Lord bless us. There are things we don't see when we're praying. We don't see when we read our Bible. Nobody sees how much money I give or you give. It's known only to God. And when you're covered up, and he that is faithful in the secret, what church shall be what? Rewarded openly. Now, I'm bringing this to a close. A seed is planted. Say amen. A seed is isolated. Say amen. A seed is surrounded by darkness. Say amen. And then lastly, there's the element of time. The element of time. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. While the earth remaineth, there is seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The only thing between the seed planted and the harvest, the only thing between the planted seed and the harvest is time. Somebody say time. Turn around and tell somebody, don't shine before your time. Amen? Don't be Adonijah, who would be king He was shining before his time and he lost it all. Listen, nothing that is enduring will happen quick. Faith sometimes is not an event. Sometimes faith is a process. You heard the pastor say it this morning. Exactly what I'm getting ready to point now. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm, Brother Clark, let's pretend we're closing because the people are tired tonight, I can tell. But come on up here tonight, and I'll let you know when to start. It'll be a little time, but I'll let you know when to start. Hebrews chapter 11 says the words, now faith is. Say that with me. Now faith is. One time it says, now faith. But very interesting, six other times it doesn't say now faith. It says through faith. Six times through faith, Sarah received strength. Do you know what she went through to get to that moment of conception? The Bible says through faith they kept the Passover. Do you imagine what they went through to get to that Passover, the 10 plagues? Through faith they subdued kingdoms. Hebrews 11:39. These all having obtained a good report through faith. Let me tell you, faith is not always an instantaneous thing. Now, God can do it instantly, and I do believe in the suddenly. I do believe that in 24 hours, everything can change. I do believe God can do an immediate work. I'm not against that. I believe that. When I go to the hospital and pray for you, I'm praying for an event to happen right there. Come on, amen? That's the way we should pray. But I'm here to tell you, the pastor said it this morning. He said, I had to tell the devil till I was tired myself. You know what was going on? It was a process. You know what was happening? Praise God, it was the element of time. Faith upon faith. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Praise God, we're marching on to Zion. It's not easy. We're climbing up the rough side of the mountain. This thing of Christianity is not one time name it, claim it. Brother, it's day. Day in and day out, sun up and sun down. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to keep quoting and quoting and quoting. I'm going to keep praising and praising to time till my time comes, till my healing comes, till this church explodes. Praise God. The seed, the mystery of the seed, it will happen. It may take some time, but harvest is on the way. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen tonight. The old bamboo tree, and I'm closing. The bamboo tree. Put up Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to close with two things tonight. The bamboo tree, I wish I had a picture of it, in China. They plant the seed the first year. And after 1 year, nothing is seen. The second year, they go back. 2 years, seed must be dead. Nothing's happened. Then third year, nothing. 4 years. Some of you think it's 30 more minutes and we'll be out of here. Come on, man. 4 years, nothing happens. But in the fifth year, the ground breaks. You got it? There they are, right there. Praise God. See how quick that happened, just like I said? In the fifth year, just about that quick, the ground breaks, and within a matter of about 12 weeks, a fully grown tree. But see, it was an event. It was a process. And then there was the event. And I believe tonight, some of you have been through some processing. I believe some of you have been patted down. I believe some of you have been through some darkness as you stand tonight, but I believe this is now your event. Praise God. I believe you are the seed of the Lord, and you're not going to stay down, and you're not going to be hidden, and you're not going to go long before God fulfills every promise. Look at Matthew. I'm closing with the scripture. Go ahead and start playing, my brother. Matthew chapter 13. And here's what I want to get to. The kingdom of heaven It's like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Go to the next scripture. Which is the least of all seeds. But when it's grown, it's the greatest. And becomes a tree. Now read that last. So that the birds of the air lodge on its branches. You know how peaceful it is to see a bird on a branch? What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. When God raises you up, you'll not only get a blessing, but your branches will reach out. And these weary creatures that need shade and need help are going to land and be nourished and build a nest. I'm here to tell you, church, we're here to branch out. Amen. We're not here to take it all on our own. Oh, praise God. We're just a little seed now. Westmoreland, just a little church. But our branches reach to the nations of the earth. Can I get a witness out there tonight? I told Pastor Nate, I said, Pastor Nate, you've already branched out, son. You've already done good. You've got Jose to cut his hair and join the church. Amen. Give God a hand of praise for that. Amen. I'm telling you. Pastor Nate's got a victory. Amen. Jose's joined the church and cut his hair. We love them both. Amen. How many of you want to be a seed of the Lord? How many of you are willing? Are you willing to go through that process? Do you want to branch out and do greater things for God? If you do, would you step out of your seat and let's close in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you tonight that we are your seed, that we're planted by the Lord. As Brother Clark and Sister Bridget sing, oh God, we just bless you tonight, God. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved.
Planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Come on.
I shall not be moved.
Come on. Lift up your hands tonight and praise Him.
Oh, just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Come on, sing.
I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the water.
Hallelujah, somebody.
I shall not be moved.
Through faith, we're going to see our children saved. Through faith, we're going to see the sick healed. Oh, through faith, the church will grow.
Just like a tree planted by the waters.
Oh, praise God.
I shall not be moved. Just like a tree.
Yes.
Planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Let me say a few things here. If you want to branch out and let God use you, would you lift your hands up tonight? You just want to be a blessing to your job, to your workers. Father, I pray for Pastor Nate over our youth, Lord. He's a young man of God. And the hand of God is upon your life. God has purposed you and called you to ministry. And that will be fulfilled in His time. It's a process. Be faithful in the few things. God will bless you with many, many, many. This young season of your life, all of these young people at Westmoreland, though we be few in number, care for them, love them, pray over them. And watch God as He causes you to blossom like that bamboo tree and branch out from this church. Oh, somebody give Him praise here tonight. Oh, God, these young people, Lord, let them branch out, God. Let them not, Lord, during the dark times of life. Lord, when things go wrong in their life, God. When disappointments, when they break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend. Or Lord, when they go through a tough class at school. Let them be reminded that they're a seed. And that they're going to come forth if they'll be faithful and apply themselves. Oh, God, I pray for our married couples here tonight. If you're married tonight, I want you to pray with your spouse right now. To be planted. God, we believe in marriage. We come against the spirit of divorce. God, you want us to be planted together, husband and wife, till death does part. God, we pray right now. I want you to, if you would, to pray right now for Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. Is anybody out here tonight planted at Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness? Anybody? Come on now. Your feet's on the rock. Your name's on the roll. This is your church. Come on, is this your church? How many of you want our church to branch on out? Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I saw a light pole out in the field today. Anybody else see that other than me? You know what that means? That means we're branching out. Amen. Royal Rangers is branching out. We can get out of the girls' ministries race so they can branch out more and have those, amen, girls' ministries. Praise God, folks. The best is yet to come. I've often said, and Pastor Jerry has said it for years, we're probably one of the best kept secrets in town. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm glad to be a part of a church with power that's alive, that's anointed. Amen. Am I just preaching out of there? Praise God. I'm here to tell you, God is at work at Westmoreland. Come on, lift those hands up and proclaim a blessing over Westmoreland. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we want to branch out, God. We want to touch the nations. We want to touch our community. We want to touch the millennials. We want to touch children. We want to touch rangers and girls' ministries. Oh, God, filled and overflowing, Lord. We are planted here on Tillman Road and the old campus together. Oh God, you brought us to this place so that we could branch out with property and impact, and the greatest is to come, and we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Pastor, come on up tonight. Is that it? Turn around and tell somebody you are blessed and highly, tell three people. You are blessed.